At that point, we were interrupted by somebody wanting Mr. Dick to sign a book, and of course, that's why he was there. And then he explained to her some of the books he has written.
The View from Plum Lake is the first book that I wrote. It came out in 1992, and it came out in two printings of soft cover. It just does not seem to want to go away. It's an evergreen, and so we decided to put it into hardcover, so now it's in hardcover. And after I wrote that book, I wrote Follow the Storm, which is completely different from the rest of the books. It's based on personal journals that I kept when I was with CBS News covering Jonestown. I was a day late and survived Beirut, El Salvador, Nicaragua, George Wallace's three presidential campaigns. So it was something I needed to get out of my system. I don't recommend that everybody buy it. It's a tough, realistic book. But those who have bought it say that they like it. And so that's that book. Then, after I came back, I decided it was time to write Peace at the Center, which is a Quaker expression for inner contentment. Only to discover that there's some storms here, too, one of them being prostate cancer. I'm in remission. I had my operation 4 years ago. So on the way to the operating room, I'm thinking, Peace at the Center, Peace at the Center, and it helped. Then I wrote my only fictional piece so far published, A Conversation with Peter P. Pence, which champions individual integrity and the ability to work hard, save money, and become the opposite of debt-ridden. Then there is The Quiet Kentuckians, which we don't have any more copies of here today. It's going to be reprinted next year in January, so we'll have copies of that. There are five books, if I may put in a plug, for the sixth book to be published by the University Press of Kentucky next year. It's called The Scourges of Heaven. It's about the cholera epidemics of the 19th century in Kentucky. It's a historical novel. And I'm working on the next book, which is The Rivers of Kentucky. I want to put all of the rivers in it, including the Salt River and Rush River, which begins down the road in Hardin County. And I want there to be anecdotal information in it, as well as an atlas kind of a volume where if you want to know anything about a river in Kentucky, you can go to this book and you can find. There isn't a book like this at the present time. Oh, yeah. So how many cases of books would you like?
Well, as a boy, I spent a lot of my time on the Cumberland River, which falls over a ledge that we call Cumberland Falls near my hometown. So we do have some interesting rivers.
I've never seen the moon boat.
Well, I haven't, and it's hard to see. It's for real. You have to have the exact perfect conditions, which are hard to find. You've got to have a full moon. You've got to have a clear night. The river has got to be at such a level that the mist is rising just right. And I have seen the moon bow. But what everybody expects is a rainbow, and it's not. The colors are distinguishable, but they are very, very subdued. And it's not like a bright yellow, bright orange, bright red, or anything like that. It's like a gray and a light.
It's a quiet bow.
It's a quiet bow. But they've gotten a lot of mileage out of that moon bow, which very few people have ever seen. The book everybody's asking for, The Quiet Kentuckians. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because a lot of the people have been stopping in here have wanted that book. But it's already almost sold out, I guess. I don't know.
In a little over a year, we have just about sold out the first edition. There are a few copies scattered around in some bookstores, but there are none here now, and none in the trunk of our car. So what does it say? It says, I think, that there is an appetite for reading essays, short pieces on real people, with different values and different ways of looking at things and doing things, such as Willis Willyard in Hardin County, who is such a fine farmer and was a Sunday school teacher, and who if you look at his farm, to me, it's prettier than a picture, by far. And if you get lucky enough that he gives you a cantaloupe, it'll be the juiciest one you ever put in your mouth. So the quiet Kentuckians are representative, in my mind, of so many of the 3.8 million Kentuckians who don't rob banks and who don't take hostages and who don't abuse. They make mistakes. They're not perfect. But day in and day out, they are intrinsically good. They give us the flavor, the essence that we are as a commonwealth. And they're largely taken for granted, I think. And they don't really expect to be visited or to be put on the air. But I think that they like it. They feel a goodness when somebody takes time to stop and say, listen, I think that you as an individual and what you might have to say would be good for others to hear. So it's catching on. And since I'm a self-publisher in this regard, it was my decision and my wife's decision to push the button on a second printing of The Quiet Kentuckians, and they will be available in January. And if anybody would like to contact us, if I can get in the address, it's Box 68, North Middletown, Kentucky, 40357. North Middletown is in Bourbon County. Middletown is in Jefferson County. And by the way, North Middletown, as you might expect, is south of Middletown, which is the way it goes sometimes. But anyway, we're having a lot of fun with this book. And not just fun, but connecting. And it's a nice way of living and living a better life.
The very title, The View from Plum Lake, is romantic. Before you ever even open the book, that just has a romantic ring. Without destroying the romanticism or the mystique, what can you tell us about the view from Plum Lake? I'm talking about the actual place where you live and write.
Well, we like to say that we live on the Plum Lake Road in Bourbon County. We live on Plum Lake Creek. We live about a mile away from the crossroads of Plum. That's for real. But also what is for real is that it's a state of mind. So in Radcliffe, you can have a Plum Lake. In Washington, D.C., if you work at it, you can have a Plum Lake. You can have a Plum Lake wherever you go. And what does that mean? Well, it is a sense of place. It is putting down roots, but it's also identifying with community. And so does the title, The View from Plum Lake, mean that there is one view that says one thing for all people? No, that's not true. The view from Plum Lake is an evolving process, if it's anything at all. The view today is not necessarily the view of tomorrow and next week or next month. Things do happen. Plum Lake could change, just like Radcliffe, or where we are now, or E-Town, or this area, Louisville. Change. So change is the great reality. I like to say that even though Thomas Wolfe said you can't go home again, you can go home again, and probably should, if you recognize that there has been change, not only change in the surroundings and among members of your family and your friends, but change within yourself, because you're not the same Ron that you were yesterday, and you would not expect to be, because we all evolve in this process of learning and respecting others and respecting the world in which we live. And if that sounds a little too high and mighty, it's really not meant that way. It's a simple kind of outlook. I don't want to hurt anybody, and I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be a threat or to be an intimidation, and I don't want that to happen to me. But we're human, and we make mistakes, and so we do the best we can. We get in there, and we talk about things, and then we come to some kind of an agreement without, I hope, becoming violent.
This one I wasn't going to ask about until you started sharing it with some of the people who were coming up and asking you to sign the book they purchased. You have an interesting story about your grandmother.
I had always been told and believed that my grandmother, Nellie, was born in the E-Town jail. So whenever I've given a talk, especially in Hardin County, I establish my credentials by saying that my grandmother was born in Eton Jail. It invariably gets a laugh, but it's really true. And Paul Urbans, who does genealogy in the area, sent me recently a little documentation that indeed in 1865 there was a child, I think about 2 months old, in the Eton Jail, the newborn of the jailer and his wife, Nellie, my grandmother. So, my great grandparents are buried outside Shepherdsville in a little field.
Let me ask you about this real tragic story in Paducah, which just made all of us wince. The world came to Paducah, news-wise, and so on and so forth. So shocking anytime anything like that happens. But in a rural, very settled area like Heath High School, which, as I understand, is not in Paducah. It's about 10 miles past the mall in Paducah. But the national media, as they covered that story, they found it started to reflect in their reporting a depth of religious feeling that the people had in that rural area. I think it's sort of surprising. You've seen it, I'm sure, in your travels throughout the state.
Well, it was described by some as Bible Belt, and perhaps that is an apt term. I'm not really sure because I don't know that area that well, but if I may digress a little bit from this point of this terrible, terrible story, that is the information which came down, and I'm a firm supporter of the First Amendment. However, when the news came down that the accused, the 14-year-old, had seen an R-rated movie that portrayed a student breaking into a classroom and killing students. That footage was shown on the evening news broadcast, I know, on CBS, and I assume on NBC, ABC, and CNN. And I have a problem with a general viewing of that material, which suddenly is not R-rated anymore. Then it's for everybody. But then the judgment that was made by somebody to quit before it became so terribly ugly and vivid and explicit, so that you see the 1, 2, 3 young people in the movie that are killed. You see them clutching their breasts. You see them falling to the ground. I have a big problem with that. I think that it's important to know that there is a possibility that watching that movie was something that happened. And that there is a similarity with what happened in Pearl, Mississippi. Well, all of these things need to be taken into, I think, as good a context as possible, to be mindful of the fact that there are other people who may also be having a problem. And to me, it comes down to whether or not entertainment has once again raised its, in this case, ugly head on the evening news.
We've enjoyed it so much. So what do you get out of these?
What do I get out of
the book signings?
Mm-hmm. Well, a little bit of money. A little bit of money. But the main thing I get is to meet the gentleman who is from E-Town who invited me to come to church tomorrow. And then there is the other person from this area who teaches school. And the list goes on, and it is a nice kind of connecting, which to me is an enrichment that goes beyond money.
Well, time has completely gotten away from us. I want to thank David Dick for allowing us to sit beside him at his book signing yesterday at the bookstore in Radcliffe. An extremely gifted writer, very interesting conversationalist. If you want to reach David Dick, you can write Plum Lick Publishing, Post Office Box 68, North Middletown, Kentucky.
You've been listening to Heart of the Matter, a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.